Hey guys, welcome back to another great episode of SYD Life. Today we're going to be joined again by Ellie Zare, and we're going to be talking about escapism.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be really good. Let's go. Do it. So Australia is killing it.
Australia's
like killing it at the Olympics.
I woke up this morning to best ever Olympics.
The headlines this morning.
Best.
Like best ever. Australia has ever done. And I just want to hear your Olympic. I just want to hear your highlights because I've had some.
Yeah.
I think the thing that has stood out to me the most is just how well we've done in athletics. It's shocking.
It's usually a non-event for Aussies.
It's like we don't exist in it.
Yeah.
Because like the last 2021 Olympics.
It's like we're not built for it. No. We're built for the water.
Yeah. The 2021 Olympics, Rowan Browning was in the 100 meter sprint. Yeah. And that was like the moment.
I was rooting for him.
I thought he had it. I was obsessed with him back then. He didn't have it.
No.
He did much. He did like one of his worst times. Like it was horrible. Anyway, all the best to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got the silver and bronze in women's high jump.
Yes.
We got the
pole vault.
We just got gold. We got bronze in, I'm pretty sure we got high bronze. Jump? No, we got, a man got bronze, I think in like,
discus.
I thought it was hammer.
The Denny guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Discus.
What else did we get?
I don't know. More than usual.
More than usual. And like we're just in more heats than normal.
Yeah.
There's
Kathy Freeman is still like the reigning.
I know.
Because obviously that was the most iconic moment at the Sydney Olympics.
Yeah.
And I was like, just like, you know, 24 years has passed.
Yeah.
And it still holds
never,
up.
We've never gotten back in.
For 400 meters at least.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then also the Fox sisters.
Okay. This is my highlight. I have played a bit of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4 growing up.
Oh, nice. Tyler's been yapping about the skateboarding, guys.
But apart from that, can't skate, never wanted to, can't do anything. You know, like I'm not that guy.
I have roller skates in my car right now.
But the women's park skating event came on.
Hey.
And I was like, wait, they're all like 14. What is...
Was Ariana true? Was that her name?
Arissa.
Arissa true?
Arissa true.
Queen.
Yeah.
Of the world.
But here's the thing. She got gold. And the Aussie guy then got gold.
And that was him defending his title.
I did not know we were good at skateboarding.
Yeah. It's just like...
When did this happen?
The surfy... I think like they're all from like Queensland. And just like the full like surfy vibe.
Like that was a highlight for me.
Yeah.
There's just something about like these like 14-year-old girls just on like the biggest stage in the world.
It's so exciting.
Just like...
Girl power.
sure. But they were just so young. I was very impressed.
Yeah.
Because even the guys were like, they were all in their 20s.
There was a 17-year-old in the final. An Aussie 17-year-old. In the men's final.
Yeah.
Keefin? Keefin or something?
Wiz Khalif?
And then also like the swimming. Oh my gosh.
I don't know about you, Shah, but I'm already mourning the end of...
The Olympics.
No, you could not swim.
That's the thing about the Olympics. That's the thing about the Olympics. You're like, just put me in.
No.
Put me in, coach.
People have done that. And we've seen how that's... I think a few years ago, this guy from a country somehow qualified.
Oh, yeah. That happened with a woman with skiing.
Yes, I saw that.
It was
she rigged the system.
Yeah.
And she was honestly ranked like 30th in the
all
world.
All the power to you.
But what I was saying is I'm already mourning the end of the Olympics.
Yeah, it's really sad. But then we 2 years and then we have the Winter Olympics. Scotty James.
Sure.
Our snowboarder.
There's regular me.
Yeah.
And then once a leap year, so once every 4 years, there's feral Olympic me.
Yeah, it's like a whole new side of everyone comes out.
I'm rocking like multiple screens each
night. Yeah. I've watched every single minute of every single artistic gymnastics competition. Like I've watched every apparatus.
Yeah, wow.
I was a gymnast, so it's like the thing that I love. I was a competitive gymnast.
Competitive?
I was a competitive gymnast.
You went and competed in gymnastics.
Yes. It was the only like competition sport I ever did.
Wow. Oh, this is news.
Yeah. Anyway.
What?
Yeah, so.
So do you sit in front of your TV and you're like, yes. Dylan
yeah,
Randolph.
Simone Biles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh. I was never as good as her.
Yeah, no one is. That's the thing.
Rebecca Andrade from Brazil is, she's pretty close to Simone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're about to talk to Ellie Zare, who, if she's the champion of anything, it's being a guest on this podcast.
Yeah.
So.
She brings quality.
Quality. I just sit there going.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very exciting. So.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into that. Well, I'm now here with Ellie Zare. Back again. Honestly, been counting down the days. I messaged Ellie in like June. I was like, when's the next time you can come on, please? But you're in your honours year.
I am.
Doing psychology.
Doing my honours year halfway through. I'm getting there.
Getting there.
And how's your study going?
It's going well. It's my first week of semester. Mm-hmm. So I was back yesterday.
Okay. And last time you told me that you always started your assignments the night before.
Oh, no. How's that going? Bad news.
Sure.
So, okay, no, I started them with like heaps of time, but it happened twice where I like forgot to submit the assignment. Oh. It happened twice. I had to submit it like the day after it was due. It was so sad.
I need to sit down with you and go through your plan,
I honestly need help. I'm going to read the book that you've recommended for me though. Yes. So.
I bought a book today.
Yeah.
It's called How to Be a Straight A Student.
Yes.
And you're going to read it.
I'm going to read it. Yeah, you can follow along on my Goodreads if you want. I'll update every page.
Yes, good.
But speaking of kind of reading, we're going to be talking about feeling anxious about escapism and that whole idea. So I love to read.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my zone of like dipping out of reality. Do you read as well? I feel like you also read.
So first of all, reading is actually such a healthy form of escapism, which I'm sure we can get into that.
Yeah.
But that's
a
good choice. I'm going to be honest. I would say my unhealthy form of escapism is YouTube.
Okay,
totally. Do I sound like an old person?
No!
Because I'm a total YouTuber.
Yeah, wow.
I love it. I get sucked down the most random rabbit holes. I think people would be surprised to see my YouTube feed.
Wow. Oh my gosh, this is so intriguing.
Yes. But our church just did a corporate fast, meaning that everybody fasts. Yes. So I did a digital fast.
I did the same thing.
Did you?
Yeah, because I mean, social media is obviously something that I'm totally addicted to.
Okay. Well, I'm interested to hear how you went because I was a bit nervous because I had gotten the habit of watching YouTube before bed.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, and also like I do a lot of driving for my work. So I'm constantly like listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
Listening to educational
just always
things.
Always consuming things.
Totally.
Yeah.
And after about 3 days, I started having all these creative ideas.
Honestly.
Did this happen to you?
Yeah. Literally, I was like, I'd like entered a new brain zone that I had never experienced before.
Seriously, we're so busy like getting, processing everybody else's input that our brains don't have time to be bored, which is actually when they're most creative.
Yeah, so. It happened to fall on like a songwriting week for youth and we wrote like 14 songs over like 2 days and like everyone was so.
Do you write songs?
A little bit, yeah.
Do you sing?
A little bit. But I leave that to my sister.
Girl. Give us a little.
No, and it's in all the outtakes I do. I sing little jingles. But,
oh, I love that.
But yeah, everyone was like, we reached a new level. It was so exciting.
Incredible.
But yeah, it's very interesting. But why don't you kind of explain for us what escapism is?
Sure. So escapism, like we said, can be a really healthy thing. Mm-hmm. But generally, we're talking about the habitual diversion of our minds to things that are purely imaginary or entertaining to escape our routine or our reality.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's a bit of a combination of some of the definitions.
Yeah. So just kind of like, I've just been like reading Divergent for the first time ever.
Oh, for the first time.
Yes. So I've seen the movies, but it kind of like when they like enter the simulations and it's like they're like kind of in their like imagination. Is it kind of like that?
Okay. I haven't read Divergent, I have to admit. But yeah, it's non-reality.
Yeah.
It's non-reality.
Yeah.
So why do you think, I think you had this question written down for me, but why do you think you escape. Yeah. Or you're in a large social circle. Why do you think your friends escape? And do you think it's purely for entertainment? Or do you think sometimes it's to escape like a lack of well-being?
Yeah, I think for me, I find myself when I'm like highly stressed or like anxious about something or there's like procrastination, I'm just like, I just don't want to think about something. Yeah. And so for me, it's like sometimes they'll be like, I'm just like reading a really good book or like I just really want to watch this movie and I'm like, oh, I'll be entertained. But when like I've a lot during like the uni semester, I'm like, I just want to just leave what I'm thinking about to the side and like enter a new realm.
And when you feel that way, more on the stress side of things, is it more the digital forms of escapism that you're going to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like the, just anything I can get my hands on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So digital, like our devices do such an incredible job of like transporting our minds somewhere else and it does it relatively quickly.
Yeah. Especially with like short form content now, totally. Right? Just like constant switching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think our lives sometimes are so demanding, fast paced, yet lacking in meaning, deep social relationships and actually simple fun.
Yes.
That sometimes we just want a bit of pleasure.
Yeah.
And like, let's imagine that we're talking to an audience of full-time working adults. You get up in the morning, you work a full day's work, you pick up the kids from school, you make dinner, you have dinner. Yeah. And in amongst all that, you're replying to emails and all your notifications. And after a day of intensity like that, it's the most intuitive thing to just reach for the thing that is going to switch your mind off the quickest.
Yes.
And like, as we've talked about, we love novels and reading.
Yeah.
We love the hero's journey. We totally resonate with it.
Totally.
But the thing is that like fiction grossly underestimates the messiness of real life challenges.
Yeah.
And we finish high school and we're so keen to become adults.
Yes.
Totally. But then we quickly realize that life's challenges are not as romantic as what we thought.
Yeah.
They're really yucky.
Yeah.
And life is ordinary much of the time.
Yeah.
And this is why pursuing meaning over temporary entertainment, temporary pleasure, most of the time is really important.
Yeah.
And I remember we talked a little bit about happiness last time.
Yeah.
So there's this lecturer from, he's Jewish, from Harvard University, Tal Ben Shahar. And he lectured the most attended uni course at Harvard, in Harvard's history.
What a title.
What a man.
For Harvard, wow.
Oh, seriously. And it was a positive psychology course. So I'm pretty sure it was called How to Be Happy.
Yeah.
It was like the science of
happiness. I feel like I may have even heard of that. Quite famous. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You've probably heard of him. Anyway, he talks about the big ancient Greek debate on happiness.
Wow,
hedonic happiness versus eudaimonic happiness. Okay. Have you heard of this?
Absolutely
terms?
Not. Absolutely not. Tell us.
Okay. So in its simplest form, hedonic happiness is all about short-term pleasure. You could sum it up by saying this is about maximizing pleasure, minimizing displeasure.
Yeah.
And then eudaimonic happiness, this is Aristotelian happiness.
Wow.
So Aristotle was not interested in short-term pleasure. He was very interested in the flourishing life, living a life of meaning.
Yeah.
This type of life sometimes accompanies pleasure, but it doesn't seek it.
Yes, right.
And so what's interesting is that numerous studies show that hedonic motivation produces far less of an outcome on our happiness levels than eudaimonic motivation, meaning simply that seeking happiness, ironically, isn't the road to happiness.
Yeah, right.
But seeking meaning is.
Yeah, wow.
So it's interesting that meaning has such an impact on our levels of well-being because so this is an American statistic. I don't actually know what it is for Australians.
Yeah.
But guess how many people.
What? I love the guessing game. You're the only guest that comes on that like really tests me. It's so good.
I love it. I must be an old soul. I love guessing games.
Yeah. So oh fun. My gosh, same. Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Okay. So guess how many people, what percentage of people find their work, the thing that we spend most of our time doing, engaging?
Oh gosh. I feel like it'll be so low. I'll say like 20%.
Okay, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
13%.
Wow. Oh, it's so
87% of Americans don't find their work pleasurable or find purpose in their work.
Yeah, wow.
Now, this also translates to our kids. Like us being on social media all the time, sometimes we've got to think about what message this is sending our kids as well. A study came out of UCLA in 2007. And so these researchers asked little kids what they wanted to be when they grew up. Like what's the main thing that they wanted?
Yeah.
And prior to 2007, you can imagine that kids would say things like,
yeah,
being an astronaut.
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted to be a hairdresser. Thank God I didn't do that. I was nothing against that, but a psycho
child, and I was like, I want to be a clown on stilts. It was like,
it's that
like
is an, so creative.
It's like an iconic like Charlotte Laidlaw story.
It's not too late.
It's true. I can go for that.
I also wanted to be
a pink cat somehow. So I'm not sure how possible that one is. But I like used to go, I mean, like, I want to be a clown on stilts.
Right. Well, that you wanted to entertain.
Yeah.
So kids used to say things like, I want to be a fireman, a librarian, a policeman,
a
teacher, a nurse. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in 2007, these researchers asked a whole bunch of 11-year-olds what they wanted to be. And the main answer was famous.
Wow. Okay.
So these messages are obviously passing down to our kids as well. Yeah. And that was in 2007. So now I imagine it's like TikTok famous.
Yeah, it will be like,
TikTok.
I don't even know. What's an influencer? That's what I'm talking about.
An influencer. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. That is crazy. Mm. Yeah. So finding meaning or just, like, okay. So is it kind of, it's almost like you've got to reverse psychology yourself kind of, right? Like, where like you trying to force yourself into happiness by this like temporary fix.
Yeah.
But it's actually just like take your, like almost like look up. Kind of.
Definitely.
Just like see the stars in the sky.
Totally. Yeah. So there is a time for technology. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends sometimes say that I'm like a techno-resistant grandparent.
Yeah, right.
And
honestly,
I am a little bit of an old soul.
That's better being called like, like we talked last week about Gen Alpha and like the lingo that they use. And one of them is like brain rot.
Right.
Which is like when people like chronically like online. Oh, sorry.
That's a little bit of brain rot for
brain
you.
Rot, there it is. Yeah, like when people like chronically online, people be like, oh my gosh, it's like just the brain rot speaking when they just like have,
yeah.
So we don't want that.
Yes.
Yes.
So there's a time for technology. Technology
totally.
Is our aid. It's there to serve us. As soon as it's taking away from really important areas of your life, we need to rethink it.
Totally.
So what was your question again, lovely?
Just kind of like, I guess the question is how do we not try and force ourselves to be happy kind of?
So again, it's not that, and we can talk about this later, it's not that wanting leisure time is bad. That's like we need play, need leisure. It's just that, so what we were saying before about people having really, really hectic long days.
Yes.
Let's imagine people have 2 to 3 hours of free time in that day.
Yeah.
For some people, that's a conservative estimate. For some people, that's a really generous estimate.
Yeah.
Yes, the most intuitive thing to reach for the digital entertainment.
It's just fast, yeah.
Would
it just kind of, the like suggestion here is to instead of reaching for the phone, like go on a walk with like a friend. Is like that kind of the vibe?
Totally, totally. So this is like a Cal Newport concept is high quality leisure.
Yeah,
so this
okay.
is non-digital forms of leisure. They take more investment at the start. And we've convinced ourselves that because we're so tethered to our devices, we've convinced ourselves, you know what, I'm too tired. I don't have enough time to invest in something that's like high quality.
Yes, okay.
When that's the very thing that's going to really actually not only boost our well-being, but actually sustain our well-being long-term. So pursuing meaning, things with meaning over instant pleasure, ironically, as we said, actually gives you more pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like slowing down almost and having, it's like instead of having like 2 minute noodles for dinner, have a meal. It's like more nourishing.
Totally.
Just like kind of, like nourishing our mind and our like rest.
And there is And we don't like that because there's initial cost to that.
Yes. Totally. That's so true.
Mm.
Wow. So smart. So good. I honestly love it. I learned so much. And so I guess kind of on that is when we talk about our relationships, because obviously, like, I feel like I sometimes, because for example, my sister and I, we like still live together.
Yep.
We both work like full days sometimes. And so there's like the few hours after dinner where it's like, we might be so drained that it's like, I don't even see her. But then we'll just like be in our separate rooms, like watching TV or whatever. But then there's like a few times where we like play cards together, and that's like so much more fun.
Yeah.
And like so much more like enriching. And so if we think about like how it can impact our social interactions and like our relationships, this kind of like drive for like the temporary escapism, like if that is digitally, like how can it kind of impact our relationships with like other humans?
Yeah, great question. So if we're putting aside children who are using these devices habitually, because that has its own impact mm-hmm. on their development. But if we're talking about teenagers and adults,
yeah,
I really think the main way is that it's replacing in-person interaction.
Yes.
So totally. There's this idea of social displacement, essentially the idea that time online on social media is replacing face-to-face interaction. Mm-hmm. Now, face-to-face deep interaction and connection is one of the biggest predictors of well-being mm-hmm. and surprisingly not only well-being but also physical health as well, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
So college students in 1987, they would spend an average of 13.5 hours a week socializing with their friends.
Yeah.
In 2016, that went down to 9 hours a week socializing mm-hmm. with friends. And then in recent years, that's gone down even more. But that's for college students who are in an environment where they're around their friends all constantly. The time. They have every opportunity to socialize.
Yeah.
Imagine how low that number is for people living by themselves, which is becoming increasingly common in Australia.
Yeah.
So that would be one of the main concerns, is that it's actually replacing in-person interaction, which is so important.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is our development. Mm. My sister is obsessed with this social psychologist called Jonathan Haidt.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about this really interesting fact that in the prior to the 80s and 90s, children had play-based childhoods.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then 80s and 90s comes along. Parents are more aware of things like kidnappings and other threats.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it was common for parents to see technology as the savior. This was an answer to their children playing inside safely, being entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that prior to 2010, teenage boys had the highest rates of hospitalization for broken bones.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then after 2010, the admission rate for teenage boys completely drops, and the highest group presenting for broken bones is their grandparents.
Wow.
And so he says this is because they're not outside playing anymore. They're not outside climbing trees. And so kids might be physically more safe inside watching TV,
mm-hmm.
but he says that it's probably at the detriment of their social and even physical development as well.
Wow. It's like massive.
Yeah.
Has like a massive impact.
Crazy.
Wow. It's like, I love learning about all this stuff, but like freaks me out.
Why does it freak you out?
It's just like the world we're living in these days. Yeah. It's like, just I guess the whole thing that like I'm sure we'll kind of land on is like the balance, right?
Sure.
But before we get to that, when we were talking about it, you were kind of mentioned kind of like the science of like the dopamine and stuff. So I thought that could be cool to kind of hear about.
So let me just say, there's like when I say these facts,
it's not to
scare you and to scare people. It's just good to be so aware of like a question I often ask myself in the area of mental health, but also in physical health, is how is my body created to function at its best?
Yeah.
So it's just good to be aware of what's natural for our bodies. What's actually natural that's going to make us feel good.
Yeah, totally.
Escapism, dopamine. There is this well-renowned psychiatrist in the States. His name's Dr. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a pioneer in brain imaging. I think he's scanned over like 250,000 brains.
Wow.
And he talks about mental health. He actually likes to call it brain health. Mm-hmm. And he says that our brain health functions at its best when we drip dopamine.
Nice.
So dopamine is our feel-good neurochemical. Mm-hmm. It's released when we're exposed to pleasure or to reward. Mm-hmm. And dopamine's role is to say, hey, brain, whatever you just did, repeat it. Repeat it, please, okay. Because it feels really good.
Yeah.
And I like it. Mm-hmm. So again, the problem with our fast-paced culture is our pleasure-seeking culture actually often exploits our brain's reward system.
Yeah, okay.
So we have this constant stream of dopamine, which isn't supposed to be so constant.
Right.
And that exhausts our brain's pleasure centers. And this results in things like low mood, low motivation, anxiety, depression. And it actually means that things that we once felt enjoyable, mm-hmm. like everyday tasks that we once found enjoyable, actually become less enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so Dr. Amen talks about dopamine dumping activities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this would be like any of the things that we've said in excess. Right.
Yes,
there's a place for them, but when it's done habitually or in excess, things like social media scrolling, mm-hmm. TikToking, online shopping, gaming.
Yeah, gaming would be good.
Gambling also, and of course things like pornography as well. Mm-hmm. So these dump dopamine, they exhaust our pleasure centers, and that intense dopaminergic high that we once got from some of these things, maybe we actually start to require more stimuli to have that same high, and so the addictive cycle begins.
Yeah.
And so he talks about dopamine dripping activities, mm-hmm. and like we mentioned before, these are things like spending time with loved ones, playing with your dog, being outside, being in nature, playing board games, playing a musical instrument, sport, painting, drawing. There's so many things. And like we said, there's a higher investment for these things initially, but they're the very things that will increase your well-being, your sense of meaning as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because the last topic that we actually talked about was like when you aren't where you thought you would be in life. And we talked a lot about kind of like, I guess, like searching for meaning and like finding the joy in the ordinary. So this is like so cool to kind of hear the like what's actually happening.
Well,
in
do
our
you
head.
Know, it used to be much more achievable for us to find the joy in the ordinary.
Totally.
Because our pleasure centers weren't exhausted.
And so then, like the constant scrolling, like every 6 seconds, I guess, would just like absolutely throw that out the window. So that's massive. So then, to kind of bring all together, what are some like ways that we can have this like healthy sense of escapism? I think we've like mentioned a few, but just to kind of like wrap it all up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that leisure and play, I would go as far as to say that they're actually psychological needs.
Mm-hmm.
We need them.
Yeah.
Cal Newport says we need to reclaim leisure.
Yeah, right.
You know, the line between work and life has become so blended, and part of that's due to technology because there is an expectation that we're available to everyone 24/7.
Yes.
It's very unnatural for humans.
Totally.
We need privacy. We need solitude for productivity to come.
Mm-hmm.
But as that line between work and life becomes less distinct, people spend much of their leisure time in the same way that they actually spend their work time on their devices, checking apps, when that's the time that we need to be disconnecting, reconnecting to the physical world,
mm-hmm.
And doing things that really re-energize us. If we look at nature, like just the seasons and the way that flowers bloom, the common pattern in nature is like rest, produce, mm-hmm. rest, produce. It's not produce, produce, produce.
Totally.
And like how much more as humans do we need to rest? And obviously physical rest, but also like stopping to actually enjoy all the things that we've worked so hard to build and create.
Yeah.
So that's actually a biblical principle.
Yeah.
Stopping to enjoy what we've created.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, what did you say, the stars before? Or?
Yeah, just like look at the stars.
So that's wonderment.
Yeah.
Do you know, wonderment is becoming like an extinct emotion.
Wow.
Because like we said, we don't have time to stop and be bored and come up with our own ideas. Like, a good question to ask yourself is, when is the last time I felt wonderment? When's the last time I thought about an experience or looked at something in nature and actually felt pleasantly surprised or in awe? You know, it's so lucky where I live, because after about 10 p.m. when everyone's lights go out, you get the best view of the stars.
Yeah, well,
every now and again, even when I'm really, you know, have a full-on week, sometimes I'll just stop and go out for a couple of minutes and just look up at the night sky.
Yeah.
And the night sky to me is something that just...
It's just unreal.
It blows
We don't talk about it enough.
No,
the Milky
it's
Way.
Insane. The Milky Way. Michael. Bring back the Milky Way.
Yeah,
and like, you know, Shah, do you know what people used to do back in the day when they would get home from work?
What?
They would sit around the dinner table and talk.
Talk, honestly.
And do you know what they did after that?
Tell me. Tell me.
They would have sing-alongs.
Wow.
When's the last time you had a sing-along?
I had a sing-along. Oh, it's been a while.
Can you remember?
I honestly wouldn't know.
Okay. Yeah. So we had...
I'm going to reintroduce sing-alongs into my life. That is so fun.
Well, we had my dad's 70th a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And me and my boyfriend, we're just supposed to be there at the start, just helping my mum serve the food. Yeah. They just had a few of their closest friends over.
Yeah.
And it was the funnest night. Wow. Like, my mum had planned all these games and they had a massive feast and they did speeches. And then one of my dad's friends, who's an insane musician, got his guitar out.
Aww.
And they sat around singing bangers from like the 60s and 70s.
That's so special.
Like I said, me and my boyfriend were only supposed to be there at the start of the night, but we could not pull ourselves away. Just singing these songs for hours. It was like,
my dad,
was
like, genuinely, we were in the car together yesterday and I was playing a band that he like grew up listening to. And he was like, I remember one time like singing through this whole songbook with my friend. And I was like, that is so random. But like, yeah, it happened apparently.
Yeah.
In like the 80s. Like,
well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. We need to reclaim leisure. We need to reclaim play. We need it. And like, And again, there is absolutely a place for technology. But
absolutely.
Don't be technology's servant. Let it be an aid to you. Let it serve
you.
Totally.
It's such a good point. Yeah. It's, put it away. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to myself, like, put the phone away, especially in just like in terms of being productive as well.
It can be such a distraction. It is the quick answer, like the quick switch off. But just have a think about your week and have a think about how can I take 10 minutes of a little bit more effort.
Yeah.
To actually invest in something here that's actually going to energize you so much more and be so much more rewarding to you than sitting down for 2 hours and watching a film.
Yeah, totally. I think I said on a previous podcast, someone told me that like every day, like have something that like, what's the word? Just like something that kind of like brings you joy every day, every week, every month and like every year.
I love that.
And it's just like, if like just going on a walk every day.
Yeah.
And then like, for me, it's like going to walk every day, every Saturday morning, we have like breakfast together as a family. And then like every month, every year, just like something.
That's so good.
Some leisure.
That's so good. Leisure.
Like
and
meaning.
Laughing.
Yeah. Meaningful, enriching. Yeah.
And do you know what's so ironic about making time for those things is like that informs your work life so much.
Totally.
Productivity.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably don't have time to go into it now, but there's so many studies on how like, actually there was one really interesting study where they reduced a whole company's workload to 4 days instead of 5 days.
Yeah, wow, yeah.
Anyway, after 3 months, they found the employees more productive than when they were doing 5 days because they were taking a day to do leisurely activities.
Oh, it's so fascinating. Well, I feel like we've just touched the iceberg, so you're going to have to come back on. but thank you so much, Ellie,
you're
for joining
welcome,
us.
Shah.
We
thank
learned
you.
So much and you're so, so great to talk to. So
thanks,
there's Ellie Zaire talking to us about escapism. So thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Thanks, girl.
Well, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Respectfully, we've been served. We've been
it's
fed.
Incredible. Yes.
Ellie is such a treasure on this podcast.
Yeah. Thank you, Ellie.
Like, so wise and just like wise, but also so smart and so knowledgeable about all this stuff. So it was great to give, like clarity and like some really great insight.
Mm-hmm.
But to wrap it up, I thought Ellie loves to test me in in our thing. So I thought I just need to kind of test you now.
Yeah.
And so one of my favorite things I ever did.
Not new for you, but go on.
One of my favorite segments that I did with Alex was I just like gave him random words and he had to try and guess the definition.
Oh, great.
So
I'm really you're better well with words. Read.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So this first word I went to trivia on Tuesday. Okay. If Mitch Hammond is listening, which he sometimes does, we got asked what this definition
was. Did you know it?
We phoned a friend. Which what? You're allowed to do if they
you
don't
are
Google.
Not allowed to phone.
He asked we asked him and he said yeah. So shout out to Beck Scott's dad.
Wow. Becks.
Because he really pulled through for us.
Twice removed. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Give it to me.
The word is sartorial.
Mm. Well, I'm guessing it's like, is it connected to satire?
Do you want me to give you, we got given multiple choice. I can give you multiple choice with this one. I don't have the rest. Do you want multiple choice?
Yeah, give me that.
Is it either A, meaning sarcasm, B, indifference, or C, fashion?
Man.
It's hard.
Well, my first thought was it's satire, but you gave me nothing on that. So I'm thinking it's not A.
Do you want in a sentence?
Yeah.
I don't have a sentence, but I have.
No.
I have like.
I'd like to see you on the spot.
No, it's the thing that Google said was like, you'd say sartorial elegance.
I'll go fashion then.
It's fashion.
So what's it mean?
It's like relating to tailoring.
Oh.
So you, it's like a style of dress.
Man. I was like, I'm so well read.
Yeah.
Hit me again.
Divagate.
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 Sounds like defecate and
it ain't
and divinate. Or no.
I don't have
no,
any
I don't
sentence.
Know.
I think the sentence for this would be this is giving me trauma.
Defecate.
Divagate.
Divagate.
So it's like, oh, we just divagated again.
I'm just going to say you're off course.
Yeah.
No way.
It's to wander or stray from a course. Like, just like get off topic.
Okay.
So it's like the same as like digress. Well,
I digress.
Yeah.
I divagate. But is it more like it's a physical thing?
No.
Or can it be used for like
topics? You can just say.
Topics.
The example was like teachers often divagate when they're talking to students.
Okay.
Which was always the thing to do if it was like, it's like 2:50 p.m. and the teacher's going on a story and keep them talking.
And you hear about some of their law.
Yeah. And you're like, keep it coming.
Forbidden teacher law.
Yeah. Okay, the last word I have is lollygag.
In a sentence, please.
We're just lollygagging along.
I feel like it's like shooting the breeze.
I don't know what that means.
Faffing about.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
You're lollygagging.
Yeah, it means just like to stroll aimlessly or like idle or dawdle.
I'm like a big sweet tooth guy.
Big lollygagger.
I will smash a pack of gummies. You know what I'm saying?
Gotta have the sweet treat.
Are these two things related?
No. But you know what?
Maybe it's like, oh, you just.
It's just like
full
a sweet.
Of nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like a sweet. Sweet time.
This right now could be a lollygag.
Yeah, you could be lollygagging listening to SID Life right now.
Because Ellie brought the good stuff.
She brought the good stuff.
Ellie brings the gold.
She really does. She really.
She's my highlight of the
Olympics. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Great.
There we go. That's another episode of SID Life. And hey. Next episode.
Yes.
Is going to be special.
We're switching it up.
It's going to be Father's Day.
Yep.
We're getting my dad on.
Colin.
Colin Laidlaw's coming.
He exists.
Yes. He's been talked about a lot. When I asked him if he wanted to come on the podcast, he just said, okay, with a thumbs up. That was all he said.
Oh, yeah.
Which I would, we should all expect
I'm
nothing
less
than him at
this point.
I'm just glad
he included an okay.
Yeah, honestly.
If he just thumbs up that.
I'm nervous though, because he's like, now it's my chance.
Yeah, he's coming for blood.
Yeah, he's going to come for me.
I'll pass fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be like, Colin, write it in.
We'll also be joined with Ryan Smith. So it's going to be a really fun episode.
And I'm going to host.
You're going to host. I'm out of here.
Yep.
I get a week off.
Yep.
Father's Day. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be really good.
Great. Thanks, Char. Yeah. See you next time.
See you next time.
Boy.
This podcast is produced by C3 SYD Church. We exist to know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. For information, head to c3syd.church, and for more content, go to @sydlife.podcast. Help us reach more people in Sydney by sharing this episode with a friend. See you next time.